Coswillick with you today. Dating can come with a whole bunch of questions that people ask themselves about priorities, about background, even income. And for millions of people, dating someone of another race or ethnicity can mean a whole new layer of issues that family and friends might comment on, but rarely talk about openly. More than 5.3 million marriages in the United States are between couples of different races or ethnicities, but conversations about race in relationships can still be thorny. Truth Be Told is a new program from KQED in San Francisco and PRI that tackles these very types of conversations with stories about race and culture and identity. Joshua Johnson is the host of Truth Be Told. He joins me now from KQED. Welcome back, Joshua.
Hey, Todd. Good to talk to you again.
And it's great to have you back. You know, the potential pitfalls of interracial dating, I guess, aren't new. There have been lots of stories told about them. But it seems to me there could be some new challenges, maybe even new problems in the modern dating age with social media and also online dating, too.
Yeah. I mean, the challenges with interracial dating in a way have gotten easier because it used to be illegal to date someone outside of your race. So
well put.
In that regard, life has gotten better. But the increased visibility in some ways has kind of forced us to look at each other in the eye and go, oh, I don't really know what to do with you. And I have to work around some of the issues and the myths and the preconceptions and misconceptions that I have. So in a way, it's gotten easier because we can date more openly. In a way, it's gotten harder because now we realize how little we know about each other.
Well, what are you finding out about the way younger people are, for instance, maybe talking to their older relatives, grandparents, aunts and uncles about how they see interracial dating versus how somebody might have seen it if they came up, you know, at a different time?
Generationally, it's been interesting to watch people, even from the same race or same culture, deal with the social mores about interracial relationships changing over time. One of the people we talked to in the show is named Amber. She's a black woman married to a white man. They live up in Pittsburgh. And she says that her husband, her now husband, Tony, is a great guy. They love each other very much. But she had to deal with her grandmother kind of wondering whether or not Amber would be better off with a black man.
My grandmother and her girlfriend were sitting in the living room, and she was just like, Amber, when are you going to get married? And I was like, never. I don't, you know, want to deal with that. She was like, it's time for you to start going to a church with lots of young single black men. I could not stop laughing. And I was like, Grandma, what does that even mean? Like, I guess Tony and I are dating. And she was like, don't you want to date somebody that's like you?
Yeah, I mean, and there's Amber thinking about not only dating in a completely different way than Grandma thinks about it, you know, going to church to meet somebody, but also what it means to date somebody outside your own race.
True. And there are a number of reasons why, you know, for black women in particular, dating and marriage are a big thing. Statistically, African-American women tend to marry at lower rates than white women do. And there is concern about what that means long term for the future of black families. And culturally, there's an understandable interest in preserving the nature of black families, of black communities, and, you know, keeping a certain connection between black men and black women that now in this era of interracial dating feels much more visceral.
Joshua, let's talk about expectations for a second. You've got the story of Ravi, who I think confronted expectations of a potential mate in a really difficult way.
With Ravi, we found this very smart, very educated, professional Indian-American man who lives in San Francisco, and he recalled that a number of other Asian people would not date him, including a Korean woman who had a very strong deal-breaker reason for not pursuing anything serious with Ravi.
An Asian-American woman, Korean-American woman, said that I wouldn't date you or that I've only dated white men because I would want my children to have privilege and status.
Well, Joshua, let me ask you what you think, because, you know, this Asian American woman, this Korean woman that Ravi wanted to date, she might be right about white privilege and she might want her kids, as she says, to grow up not having to confront a lack of that privilege. I mean, is that an appropriate calculation to make?
Well, there are a few pieces to this. First of all, there's the piece of Ravi being an Asian American man. There has been a fair amount of research about how Asian men fare in dating in general and the stereotypes around Asian men, that they're not as virile, that they're not as well endowed, that they're not as manly as some of the other manly men that one could be dating. So Ravi comes into the American dating pool with an inherent disadvantage based on cultural stereotypes. That's independent of the race of whoever he might be attempting to court. That's number one. Number two, in terms of privilege, this is a super duper touchy subject. A lot of people don't like talking about white privilege. And so let me define that term before we keep going. White privilege refers to the unearned advantages through no fault or action of their own that whites enjoy as a result of legacy racism in the U.S. It does not mean that if you are white today and you are privileged that you're a racist, that you did something awful to get that. It means that there is a legacy that predated you that you benefit from, including not having to worry about race or privilege at all. That is a privilege, to not think about this racial game that you have to play in the U.S. That's probably the biggest privilege of all. So this woman is right in saying that there is a certain kind of privilege and status that whites enjoy in this country. Yes, it sucks. No, it's not fair. Yes, it's real. For her to say that her children would enjoy that may or may not be so. I mean, it depends on how people perceive her kids. If she marries someone who's white and their kids look more Korean than white, they may not benefit from that privilege. On the other hand, marrying someone who's white means marrying someone who has benefited from those privileges historically. For instance, having more wealth and more disposable income. That could augur well for her kids in terms of being able to build a life for them. And this is awful stuff to have to talk about, to try to build a relationship on this. It's crazy making. But there's some reality to it. I don't know what I would do if I was in Ravi's situation, but I see it from both sides.
Decoding the difficult conversations about culture and race and dating. That's what they're doing over at Truth Be Told from KQED in San Francisco. Joshua Johnson is the incredibly able host of Truth Be Told. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Anytime.
My name is Victor. I'm calling from Arlington. Has race ever played a part in any of my relationships? All of them. From my first girlfriend who broke up with me after her mom's disapproval, to my recent ex-wife whose brother-in-law refused to allow my children over. Racism has been inescapable for me.
A lot of you are sharing your experiences with race and relationships. You can be part of the conversation with us on Facebook at facebook.com/thetakeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by TIAA. Whether it's investing, advice, banking, or retirement, TIAA is committed to helping those who do good do well. Learn more at TIAA.org. And Staples, offering tools for small business, including color copies and presentations, booklets and manuals, and custom frame prints and posters. Designed and printed in-store or ordered online at staples.com. Staples, make more happen.